Welcome to episode 29 of The Mark of a Druid. My name is Rhonda R. Carpenter. I'm your narrator and author, and I hope that you're enjoying this story. If you need more information about me or about The Mark of a Druid, please go to themarkofadruid.com. And do me another favor. Could you please, if you're listening to any book, any podcast, tell us how we're doing. Leave a comment. Rate what you're listening to. It really does help other people find what they want to listen to. Now, on with our story. Chapter 43, Rendezvous, Rescue, Revenge, and Reunions. Cosmo slid from the bed to the floor, leaving a trail of blood on the white comforter. He crawled under the bed and collapsed on top of David's lost tape. In his broken mind, he flew into the sky. A flash of sunlight cascaded over black, shiny wings. He was free. Eve had barely stopped the car when she flung open the driver's side door and jumped out. Cosmo! Smoke billowed gray in the air. Andrea rushed after her. A news helicopter thumped overhead. Flashing lights turned the neighborhood into something surreal. Police cars blocked the street. The fire engine pumped water onto the house. 6 men in helmets and yellow rubber gear worked on the roof. One of them cut a hole with a chainsaw. 2 officers stopped Eve's progress.
Stay back, ma'am.
Let me go! She struggled against the officer's hold. I have her, Andrea said to the officer. She pulled her back. They'll find him. Too late. It's too late. He's gone. Don't say that, Andrea turned to the officer. Can you tell the firemen that there's a cat inside?
Her house, ma'am.
He pointed to Eve, who was crying, into Andrea's shoulder.
Yeah. She live alone?
Yes, just the cat, Andrea snapped at the officer while she patted Eve's back.
Let's get her in the car, ma'am.
He opened the squad car's rear door and spoke to his partner. With a nod, the other man sprinted toward the fire engine. Ryerson placed the receiver on the cradle, grabbed the remote, and turned on the television. Absent-mindedly, he flipped through the channels. A special news broadcast flashed on the screen. He dropped the remote. The helicopter flood lamps vibrated down on a house fire. The fire chief spoke to a reporter.
We have it under control. The homeowner wasn't home when the fire started.
Do we know the cause? The reporter pushed the microphone closer.
That's under investigation.
Voices rose as a firefighter ran from the smoldering house, cradling something small in his arms. He kneeled on the lawn. Ryerson was mesmerized. The helicopter pilot picked up where the reporter left off.
It looks like they've found a victim.
Ryerson leaned forward, studying the scene.
Would you look at this?
The pilot's voice gained momentum as a woman pushed past the barricade.
It must be the homeowner. She's obviously distraught.
That's Eve. Ryerson watched intently. On the screen, she fell to her knees. Ryerson thought he could hear her scream, but he realized it was in his mind. As he stood, the room spun. She needs me. His vision narrowed to a pinprick and winked out. Polyon lay in Adam's arms. The blade was buried to the hilt. She moaned.
Orion.
Be still. I must see to your wound. He used a small knife to cut up the sleeve and shoulder seam. He inspected the position of the knife. It had entered her upper chest, away from vital organs, but the damn thing protruded from her back. He lifted her from the ground and carried her back to the fire. She kept muttering the bird's name. He didn't think there was anything he could do for the creature, but he would return for it after he had removed the dirk. Adam tore the hem of his shirt. You must lie still. This will hurt. He pushed his weight down on the flesh around the knife with one hand and pulled the hilt free with one swift motion with the other. She screamed,
"Ah!"
But to her credit, she did not lose consciousness. Blood flowed from the wound. It was not as bad as he had expected. Relief
skimmed through him. To quell the blood flow, he stuffed the cloth over the exit wound and made her lean against it. It was bleeding less than the front. "Hold this, here." He pushed her hand with the wadded cloth to her chest. "I'll fetch Orion."
"Thank you,"
she whimpered as he ran for the bird. Moments later, when he reached the spot where the raven should have been, he could not find it. He discovered the bird beneath a bush some paces from where it had been. He returned to Alian, the bird in his arms. By firelight, he ran his hands over the bird.
"It breathes and appears unharmed. Why does it not open its eyes?"
He put Orion in her lap. Her nimble fingers probed his feathered chest.
"His heart beats."
Her brow furrowed. Adam watched her with curiosity. "He soars the veil." Her eyelids fluttered open, and she moaned with the movement of her arm.
"Will he live?" Adam asked.
Alian frowned up at him.
"I will have to show him the way."
The powder blue sports car parked in front of Samantha's home. David held a tissue to his face. Anger simmered beneath the new scars. "Fucking cat." He knocked on her door, but she didn't answer. "Now what the fuck am I supposed to do?" Her voice whispered in his mind.
"No evidence. I need all the tapes."
The house smoldered in the background. The news helicopter had disappeared, and emergency vehicles were mopping up when a man in a dark blue suit walked toward the woman.
"Ms. McCormick? I'm Sergeant Steve Harris, fire inspector. Very sorry for the loss of your pet."
She looked at him as if he were crazy.
"Do you have somewhere you can go? Somewhere you can stay?"
the man asked, studying her face.
"She's staying with me."
Andrea's tone was laced with provocativeness.
"What caused it?"
Eve's voice shook, threatening the return of tears.
"An investigation's underway. But the firefighters noticed the back door was broken into."
Eve's mouth dropped open. A deputy approached.
"Pardon me," he nodded to the woman. "Take a look at this."
Harris excused himself and walked toward the cat's corpse.
"Sergeant, this was found under the cat."
He took the baggie for a fraction of a second.
"A cassette tape. Log it, officer."
Harris's gut instinct told him this was no ordinary house fire. He stared down at the cat, then squatted.
"Looks like someone cracked its skull."
"Yeah, but it put up a fight." The officer lifted one paw with an ink pen from his pocket. "All four paws are bloody."
"Tag it and bag it. Have the body stored at the coroner's office."
"Yes, sir." He returned to the homeowner. After recording Eve's and Andrea's contact information, Harris scratched his chin.
"We'll be in touch as to when you can have access to your property."
Other officers were stringing yellow crime scene tape around the yard.
"Can I?"
Eve stopped herself. What was left to get out of the house, she thought. It looked like a total loss. Grandma's wardrobe, all my hard work, and Cosmo. Tears tumbled down her cheeks again.
What about my cat?
I'm afraid since the cause of the fire has not been determined, ma'am, we have to look at everything. I'll let you know when the body can be released.
Andrea stepped forward.
Sergeant Harris, right? Eve is very upset. Is it possible to ask your questions later?
She memorized his face. He was a fine-looking man, with a slight cleft in his chin. His average height allowed her to look directly into his deep hazel eyes. For an instant, he reminded her of... But the remembrance was gone. Andrea smiled at him and stuck out her hand. He passed her his card.
I understand. If you have any questions, please call me.
Andrea started to walk Eve to the car.
Oh, one more thing, Sergeant Harris said. How did you get that black eye, Miss McCormick?
It was an accident.
She exchanged glances with Andrea.
I see. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
Dread circled Gormlev's mind and moved like a vulture to Carrion. The fool slave had probably been killed. If that be so, she thought. Then he cannot point fingers in my direction. She stalked the grounds for signs of Davith, but found no one that had seen him. When she entered the great hall, she found Malmore in a fouler mood than she. Her hand covered his.
What troubles you, my brother?
I tire of Beru's tributes. I must leave on the morrow to escort the masts from Limerick to Kinkora. Can you do your own brother no goodwill?
Masts?
She asked, eyes alight.
Did you not know your king?
The word rolled from his mouth, as if he prepared to spit.
Demanded a tribute of 100 long masts for his fleet. 'Tis all that remains before his ships are complete.
Have you shared this with Silkenbeard? She asked.
Yes, my sister.
Your son is prepared to strike before Beru's fleet is complete, while I sit here and drag my royal feet. A thing at which you have always excelled. I shall do what I can to keep Beru occupied with other matters. He slapped his palm on the table and chuckled ominously.
You never cease to muddle a man's mind while twisting his breeches around his ankles.
She took the intended insult as a compliment and smiled broadly. Samantha sat up in bed. The silk of her negligee slithered against the silk of the sheets. She laid back down, arms stretched over her head, with a petulant smile on her face. What had awakened her? She listened but heard nothing. With a purposeful huff, she turned on her side and closed her eyes, counting backward. Andrea was sitting on the sofa, in what Eve decided was deep thought. The silence in the room deepened and ached in Eve's chest. She yearned for sound of any kind. Her gaze fell to the remote. She picked it up and pressed play. She thought the television would crackle to life. Maybe something mindless. But instead, a mystical flute filled the room. There was only time to glance in Andrea's direction. Her eyes widened. Then her head lulled, as Eve leaned back and closed her eyes. Alian looked down at her body, and then at the man who watched over it. He was not at all what she had believed. But then, not much of her life was. She reached out with her mind and called to the bird in the only way she knew how.
Orion!
Shiny black wings fluttered in an orange glow. She moved toward it.
Orion!
She called again. An urge to spread her arms overwhelmed her. Wind currents swept her up higher and higher into the pre-dawn sky. Orion flew in front of her, leading the way over the vast expanse of water. They glided into a spiraling dive toward land. She followed him. He swooped between the trees and soared over a river. The land looked familiar. Then she saw the grove and the round house. Joy exploded through her. Orion settled on a branch above Athene. Alion's spirit hovered beside her sister. Athene could not see her, but Alion thought she could feel her by the way she tilted her head, as if listening.
My little bird.
Alion tried to touch her shoulder, but her hand slipped right through her.
Alion, I wish you could hear me.
She looked up.
Forgive me. I blamed you for my pain. 'Twas not your burden to bear.
Tears fell from her cheeks.
Father has given me to be married. If you return, I shall not be here.
From her state, she could do nothing to help her sister. Sadness and longing gripped at her.
I will not be taken without love again. I would rather die than have a Christian husband lay hands on me. Please forgive me.
I forgive you anything, little bird. Athene rose and went inside. Orion flew from the branch and she followed. Now she understood why Orion had come for her. Athene needed her. A flash of light invaded her mind. The sky turned gray with the pending dawn, and Adam began to worry for her safety. She had been away a long time. He took her hand. It was cold. He checked her wound. Blood soaked the cloth, and he changed it. His senses were on high alert, and his heart raced. The bird lifted its head, ruffled its feathers, and made a gurgling sound as it spread its wings and hopped about on the ground. Alian moaned. her eyes opened with a flutter of russet lashes over emerald orbs. He stopped her from moving by placing a firm hand on her good shoulder.
Be still. You're bleeding badly. I must apply pressure.
My sister is in trouble. I must go to her. She pushed once more against him.
If you do not stop fighting me, you will not even make the meeting with the Audrey. I promise you this, O Great One. If you live to meet the Audrey, I'll return you to your sister.
Take the look off your face. I shall live. Her smile was warm, and he returned it gratefully.
And I shall hold you to your word. He grinned back at her.
She stood a bit wobbly, and he supported her.
You may be light-headed. It will pass.
She wished she could control her racing heart. Every time he looked into her eyes or brushed her arm, it was like a lightning strike.
Adam.
Yes?
Thank you for helping me.
She brushed her lips across his cheek and watched him blush. When they crested the small rise, a grassy field lay before them in the distance. A grouping of tents was sheltered by oak and birch.
The Audrey will meet us there.
He pointed to a craggy outcropping alongside the Shannon. She wrung her hands, then wiped her palms on her skirt.
Then let us waste no time.
I must appear as the wolf.
So be it.
No, you don't understand. Wait here. It will not be long. Sit, rest. Now she was interested. Why could she not witness the changing? He walked to a stand of small shrubs. Her eyes followed him. He ducked behind them. She stood and craned her neck. She had not thought to see him bare-chested and ducked her head. Her cheeks flushed. But she looked again. He turned, as if he would face in her direction. She sat down so quickly she grimaced in pain. She hoped he had not seen her boldness. The wolf trotted from the shrubs with a bundle clenched in its teeth. When he reached her, she took the bundle from him. His nose lifted in the air. The sound of harp strings being plucked caught her ear. They followed the sound. It seemed a sad tune to Alion. No contingent of guards protected the Audrey. He sat upon a boulder overlooking the shimmer of the Shannon River. The recognition was staggering. Alion's steps faltered. It was the man from the telling, but his fiery red hair was now tinged gray at the temples. His shoulders were still broad, and he stroked a light hand at the harp. She stood stiff-legged, her breath caught in her throat. He had loved Gretich and fathered her, but she did not know this man, except by sight. His attention shifted from the river to her, his appraising eyes lit from within, sparkling in the sunshine, then dulled as they landed on her bandage. Baru's smile was tentative as he set the harp aside and rose to his full height, then bowed formally at the waist.
I welcome you home, my child.
Alion curtsied on wobbly legs. Her eyes ran the length of him as she lifted her head. The man had stepped forward, gripping her by the waist and lifting her from the ground.
You are the image of your mother. Did you know?
I did, Audrey. And I think there's a bit of you in my making.
He laughed, setting her to the ground.
You were a bit smaller the last time I saw you. How did you damage your shoulder?
Her attention jerked from her father to the wolf's low growl. It leapt to its feet and streaked to the trees. The king drew his sword and followed. David's face was caked with dried blood. His right eye was useless, but he was determined to prevail for his queen. He had not counted on the wolf. Followed by the king, Adam lunged for Davith. The attack was brutal. The king did not swing his sword for fear he would hit the wolf. Incisors tore at the slave's forearm. He dragged the man screaming from the trees.
Adam, stop!
Alion cried from behind him. The wolf released Davith's arms, and the man fell back. The king's sword went to his throat. Through clenched teeth, Brian Baru's voice sliced the air.
Explain your presence.
My lord, the queen sent me.
Then tell me, Davith,
Alian stared down at his damaged face. What does your queen want from me? The wolf snarled and snapped at his face, but he did not touch him. My queen wants to finish what she started when you were a babe.
Be clear, slave. No riddles.
Brian's face was red with fury. The wolf's hackles did not drop even when Alian's fingers smoothed them. Audrey, said Alian boldly, there is no need for clarity. I know of what he speaks. You see, the death of Greditch, my mother, was the work of your wife, the queen. Rage roared from Beru. Had there been thunderclouds above, Alian would have sworn the steel of his blade was lightning, striking from behind the veil. Davith writhed as the blade opened his chest.
Merchant!
Bring that scheming bitch to me, the king demanded. I'd like to take this opportunity to really quickly ask all of my listeners to please go leave a comment, rate the book. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you don't like what you're hearing, please let me know. Your comments help me and others choose what to listen to. If you want more information about myself or the book, please go to themarkofadruid.com. And until next time, take care.